Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The temptation is huge, much like in the world of dating today, with all these apps like Tinder that are, if you're single...
You're saying work is sort of like dating, you swipe left or right? This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. And today we're talking about that itch, the wandering eye. How do you know when it's all over and it's time to quit your job?
Did 75% of the work myself, was very proud of it, and then in the end didn't get to be in the final meeting to propose the work that I worked on.
Hypothetically speaking, because I've never left a job, I would say it is time to leave a job when you no longer feel respected, when you feel like people aren't, you know, listening to you and really understand.
And if you do leave, will things get better?
Now I'm working somewhere where I like. I'm not crazy about it, but it would have been better than the other place I was staying at. So, yeah.
It's hard to know. So I decided to call up an expert on these sorts of things, Tomas Chamorro Pramuzik, whose name I still really can't pronounce. Pramuzik?
In reality, it's Premužić.
Premužić.
But that's good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I should do that.
It's easier Croatian.
Really, Premužić.
Yeah.
He's a professor of business psychology at the University College London and a frequent contributor to the Harvard Business Review. And he says that as the economy is improving and companies are hiring, that means for some workers, the urge to leave is stronger than ever. And that might not be a good thing.
There's a known psychological rule that states that the more choice we have, the harder it is to choose and the less happy we are with the outcome. That's actually probably one of the reasons why engagement levels are so low around the world. You know, it's because in much of the industrialized world...
Because there's a cuter, hotter job around the corner?
Absolutely. And, you know, you have sites like LinkedIn, for example, with over 350 million members. They consider 70% of their users passive job seekers. What they mean by passive job seekers is people who are employed, not actively looking for other jobs, but open to other opportunities, perhaps updating their profile, clicking on potential job ads, etc. Imagine that in the realm of relationships. Imagine if 70% of people who are married or in a relationship are still wandering around or shopping around or open to other opportunities. It wouldn't be a very fulfilling relationship to be in, right?
So how do you make the determination, though, that now is the right time to get a new job?
I think there isn't a simple answer to this, but the research shows that there are five triggers or five typical indicators that tend to signal that it's time for a new career or to move on and find another job. The first indicator is that you have stopped learning. So if you're doing your job on autopilot and everything is routine, you probably should find something more stimulating. The second indicator is that you're underperforming. Performance is a big motivator. In other words, when you are pushed to do well in your job, and if your manager or leader can make you perform to a higher level than what you expect, you will be motivated and engaged. So if you're underperforming or you're cruising or not performing highly, then you're probably going to be demotivated, which means you should also find another job.
So the first thing is you're not learning in your job. The second thing is you're underperforming.
Mm-hmm. The third thing is you feel undervalued. Of course, how valued people feel isn't really...
quite subjective.
It's quite subjective. You know, there is an element of truth in that, but there's also it's also a reflection of our own self-esteem, self-concept, and how we interpret reality. But it does matter. And when people feel that they're undervalued, particularly by their bosses or management, I think it is also a good time to move, mostly because they could be doing the same thing, operating in the same way on a similar job somewhere else where they would feel the love of the manager, and that would be much more rewarding and much more enhancing.
Even if it's the same work.
Even if it's the same work. And, you know, we don't live in a world that is fully rational. There's a subjective element when it comes to appraising others' performance. So you could be doing exactly the same, producing exactly the same work, and somebody would really like it and somebody doesn't like it. Why not work for somebody who does like it?
So a lesson for managers then is that they want to keep their staff engaged and happy and not leaving is just to let them know that you value them.
Absolutely. Show them appreciation. And if you want to keep them, but you're not happy with the performance, give them critical feedback on how they can get better so that you
can
try.
But let them know you still want them.
Absolutely.
Okay, now what?
The fourth point is when people are just doing it for the money. When people feel that they're working simply for the financial incentives, they actually tend to enjoy their jobs less. And there's these wonderful psychological experiments where you offer people more money for doing the same job and their engagement and satisfaction levels go down because they persuade themselves that they're only doing it for the money and therefore you can't mix, you know, money and love. So if you think that you're doing something just because of financial rewards, it's difficult to persuade yourself that you actually like that. And that actually demotivates you. So the more you pay people to do the same task, the less they will enjoy that actual task.
I think I'd like to try that experiment.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it also works the other way around and people don't like this idea that if you pay somebody less to do the same job or the same task, they would actually persuade themselves that they actually like it more. That's to avoid experiencing cognitive dissonance.
So what's the fifth thing if that tells you it's time to leave your job?
And the fifth one is actually the most common, which is hating your boss. I mean, I'm sure all your listeners will relate to this. You know, if you ask the average person to list two or three wonderful bosses they had in the past, they would really struggle. If you ask the average person to come up with five bad or incompetent bosses they had, they could give you 10. And that's a sad reality, you know. And actually, if you look at it, this is probably one of the main reasons why self-employment rates have been going up and why so many people want to be entrepreneurs. The number one reason they quote is they don't want to have a boss and they don't want to work for anybody else.
So when then is the best time to look for a new job? And what I mean by that is it when you're satisfied at work and you can kind of think rationally about the pros and cons? Or is it when I hate my boss, I'm not doing anything at my job, I'm just so miserable, I have to find another job?
Mm-hmm. This isn't an area where impulsive decisions are likely to pay off. So it is more sensible to wait, to think. You know, we're not really that close to an efficient employment market. There's still a big gap between supply and demand. But at the same time, if people are biting the bullet for too long and putting up with abusive management or staying disengaged and bored in a job or experiencing any of these five symptoms that I described, then it's not something that they should be proud of. I mean, it's good to be resilient, but they really are wasting a lot of energies and time. So if they are in a place where unemployment isn't really, really high and there are opportunities, I think it won't harm them to look around, to go on interviews and find alternatives. And in most cases, they will be happy to make that choice.
Final question. If you do decide to jump ship and take another job and then you have buyer's remorse, and you're suddenly thinking, oh man, why did I take this job? That other one was great. I should have stayed at that one. Any counsel?
There are. I know I've seen many cases where they returned and it worked. And, you know, especially when people leave because they want it, not because they were pushed out, a lot of managers, a lot of bosses, especially if they had a good relationship with the employee, will take them back. And so it can work. It's probably more effective than going back to an old relationship, you know, to use the same similarity then. It doesn't mean just because you leave that the door will be shut forever. I mean, the advice is, of course, to leave in good terms, even if you are fed up and you don't have you don't hold your bosses or colleagues in high esteem. Try to fake it or live in a civilized way because it could be another opportunity in the future.
Well, Tomas, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Tomas Jamaro-Pramuzik is a professor of business psychology at the University College London and is the CEO of Hogan Assessments. And this is Money Talking from WNYC.